بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. أبان مولده عن طيب عنصره أبان مولده عن طيب عنصره يا طيب مبتدأ منه ومختتم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. يوم تفرس فيه الفرس أنهم يوم تفرس فيه الفرس أنهم قد أنذروا بحلول البؤوس والنقام قد أنذروا بحلول البؤوس والنقام. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. وبات أيوان كسرى وهو منصدع وبات أيوان كسرى وهو منصدع كشمل أصحاب كسرى غير ملتائم كشمل أصحاب كسرى غير ملتائم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. والنار خامدة الأنفاس من أسف والنار خامدة الأنفاس من أسف عليه والنهر ساهل العين من سدام عليه والنهر ساهل العين من سدام. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. وساء صلوة أنغضت بحيرتها وساء صلوة أنغضت بحيرتها ورد واردها بالغيظ حين غمي ورد واردها بالغيظ حين غمي. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. كأن بالنار ما بالماء من بلل كأن بالنار ما بالماء من بلل حزنا وبالماء ما بالنار من ضرم حزنا وبالماء إماء بالنار من ضرم. ما مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. والجن تهتف والأنوار ساطعة والحق يظهر من معنى ومن كلمة مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. عموا وصموا فإعلان البشائر لم عموا وصموا فإعلان البشائر لم يسمع وبارقة الإنذار لم تشمي مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. من بعد ما أخبر الأقوام كاهنهم بأن دينهم المعوج لم يقم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم.
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Most respected elders, friends, beloved معتكفين, mothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is the fourth chapter of Qasida Burda. It is titled as Faslun fi Mawladin Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The chapter about the Mubarak birth, the blessed birth of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In the previous chapter, Allama Busairi Rahmatullah Alayhi, in praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, states, "Lawla lam takhruj ad-dunya min al-adami." Had it not been because of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the world would never have come out from non-existence to existence. In other words, the Mubarak birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is central to the purpose of creating this world. And in fact, we could also say that it was the most singular, greatest event that have taken place on the face of this earth. There wasn't anything as great as the Mubarak birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everybody is unanimous that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born on a Monday. In the hadith in Muslim Sharif, a hadith is mentioned, سُئِلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَنْ يَوْمِ إِسْنَيْنِ. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked about a Monday, any virtue, any value, any significance of Monday. Generally, we have a misconception of blue Mondays. After a long weekend, when a person has to go to work, the person feels groggy and he called it a blue Monday. But for us as Muslims, we start Monday in a positive way. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked about a Monday. So among the virtues of Monday, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that ذَلِكَ يَوْمٌ وُلِدْتُ فِيهِ. That is that day, that Monday in which I was born. It's a day of virtue, it's a day of significance. Everybody is also unanimous that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born in the month of Rabiul Awwal, the third month of the lunar calendar. And according to the Gregorian calendar, it was in the year 571. As far as the date of the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is concerned, it is commonly known, more popular, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal. From the academic point of view, this is attributed to a famous historian whom even Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi says very often in Kitab al-Maghazi, in the second volume, he quotes Muhammad ibn Ishaq rahmatullah alayhi. He states that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born on the 12th of Rabi al-Awwal. Whereas, this has not been supported by any chain of narrators and through any authenticity. The more correct version, from the research point of view, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born on the 9th of Rabi al-Awwal. The reason for that is, there was no Monday of the Rabiul Awwal of the year 571 that have fallen on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal. Most of the commentators and most of the researchers are of the view that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born on the 9th of Rabiul Awwal, and in the early part of the morning, approximately 4:30 a.m. at Subah Sadiq time, so we can say that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into the world. As though the world was coming out from darkness to brightness, at the same time, the real darkness was coming out and the real brightness was now being ushered into the dunya. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born in the house, which is now known as the Maktaba, close to the Haram Sharif, just outside the Haram Sharif. It's a Maktaba, or rather a library. That's the birthplace of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. According to a Gregorian calendar, the birth of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on the 20th of April. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born in the season of spring, and in the Arab Peninsula, spring comes in April. Allama Busairi rahmatullah alayh refers to various miracles that have taken place at the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is mentioned in one hadith, Usman ibn Abi al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates from his mother. She says, أَنَّهَا حَذَرَتْ آمِنَة. When Hazrat Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she was about to give birth, So Uthman ibn Abi al-As's mother was there by Hazrat Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha. So she says, her observations, فَجَعَلْتُ أَنْظُرُ إِلَى النُّجُومِ تَدَلَّى. When I looked up toward the skies, it appears as though the stars were actually bowing down in sajda, the stars were actually falling down. And she says that, حَتَّى أَقُولْ لَتَقَعَنَّ عَلَيْهِ. It appears as though the way the stars were bending towards the earth, as though the stars are now going to fall on the earth. فَلَمَّا وُلِدَتْ. When she gave birth to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, خَرَجَ مِنْهَا نُور. That such noor came out from the house at that time that أَضَاءَ لَهُ الْبَيْتُ وَالدَّارِ. Noor, light, celestial light filled up the entire house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And why not so? When that very same light is to fill the entire world with noor and light. Allama Busayri rahmatullah alayhi, he refers to many other miracles that have taken place just before the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are various type of miracles. One is called a mu'jiza. A mu'jiza is that miracle, something supernatural, something unique, something that is out of principle and out of norm of life, that is conducted by the hand of a Nabi. Almighty Allah Tabarakallah refers to many miracles of the prophets in the Quran Kareem. Then if a miracle is performed by a non-Nabi, a wali of Allah, and that is called karamat. In the books of Aqeedah, it is mentioned, karamatul awliya ya haqqun. The karamat of the awliya, they are haqq, they are true, we believe in them. On condition, he is a real wali of Allah, otherwise not a fake. And then there is another miracle that is called irhas, with a sword. Irhas literally means a foundation. And these are those miracles that have taken place at the birth of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or before the birth of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as though by divine design, by divine order, Almighty Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala established a foundation of the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allama Busayri rahmatullah alayhi would refer to approximately 6 such miracles that have taken place at the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It probably may be appropriate for me to also discuss the concept of celebrating birthdays. The origin of celebrating birthdays, in the past, people used to live very harsh conditions. So many catastrophes, and it was a challenge for people to live on. So it was as though people had to fight nature and in order to survive. So upon the completion of 1 year, they would celebrate victory against nature and being able to survive against the odds of nature. This is the origin of celebrating birthdays. And in Islam, we live in harmony with nature. And if anything has to happen, then we believe that it is by divine design, divine order. إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلْهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ السَّاعَةُ وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. When your time comes to leave the dunya, it's not that nature have killed you. It is actually by divine design, by the order of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And our concept of passing 1 year of our life is that we don't celebrate, and it's not like we have gained victory over nature, but it is actually that we're supposed to be pondering, reflecting, 1 more year closer to a qabr, 1 year, one more year closer to a qabr. And probably the past year, we have wasted it in disobeying Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So this is not the time, 1 year of your life, it is not the time for us to celebrate. It is actually a time for us to cry, for us to reflect, for us to ponder that where are we going with life. It is time for us to make tawbah. As far as Milad is concerned and celebrating the Mubarak birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is something we celebrate every single day of our life. And Every single moment of our life, we celebrate the milad, the birth of Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're implementing the sunnah of Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every aspect of our life. And in fact, it is safe to say that the personality of Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is too great, too powerful for his personality to be celebrated for just one day of his life. Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's personality is such, we're supposed to be celebrating it every single moment of our life, every single day of our life. Allama Busairi rahmatullah alayhi proceeds and he states, Abana mawliduhu an tibi unsirihi ya tiba mubtada'in minhu wa mukhtatami. Unsur refers to the origin. The translation is, the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expressed, it showed the pure origin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How pure is his beginning and how pure is his ending. In these two poems, Allama Busairi rahmatullah refers to the purity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before the advent and before the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the world, all around, the north, the south, the west, the east, the center, was infested and saturated with every form of evil, the worst of which was kufr and shirk. Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is pure, and Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to remove all impurities, and most importantly, to remove the impurity, the najasat, the dirt of kufr and shirk from this world, and fill this entire world with purity, with tawheed, and with a beautiful way of life. يَوْمٌ تَفَرَّسَ فِيهِ أَلْفُرُسُ أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ أُنذِرُوا بِحُلُولِ الْبُؤُوسِ وَالنَّقَامِ. Tafarras is from the scale of tafa'ul, which means to perceive. And what eloquence Allama Busairi displays, he says Al-Furus. Furus refers to the Farsi people, the Persian people. As though the Persian people, the Farsi people are those people that are supposed to have farasat in them and they're supposed to have insight and basirat in them. In the second poem, Bu'us, it refers to misfortune, and Naqami, it refers to punishment. The translation is that on the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Farsi people, the Persian people, they perceived that they are being warned with coming of a misfortune and with coming of a punishment. At that time, at the time of the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were two empires of the world. The Persian Empire and the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire wasn't as big and as powerful as the Persian Empire. And this is also indicated in the Quran Kareem, Alif Lam Mim Ghulibatir Rum. In the 21st Juz of the Quran Kareem, Allah Tabaraka speaks about how the Romans have been defeated. Defeated by the Persian Empire. So that shows indication the Persian Empire was a very powerful empire at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, at that time, the Persian people, with the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is as though by divine order, by divine design, they were being warned, they were being told that their empire is about to crumble. And a great misfortune, according to their understanding. Otherwise, for the entire world, it was a fortune for Nabiyyu Kareem to come in the dunya. But in relation to them, it was a misfortune because the empire is about to crumble. وَبَاتَ أَيْوَانُ كِسْرَى وَهُوَ مُنْصَدِعُ كَشَمْلِ أَصْحَابِ كِسْرَى غَيْرَ مُلْتَئِمِ. مُنْصَدِعُ, it means to crumble. And Aywan, it refers to the palaces. Kisra is a title given to a Persian king. And at that time, at the time of the birth of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the name of the Persian king was Noshirwa. And in the second poem, Shaml and Ashab, it refers to the army and it refers to the associates of Kisra. Multa'im, it is from the scale of Ifti'al, something that is not going to recover, something that is not going to recuperate, something that's never going to come back. The translation is that at the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the walls of the palace of Kisra spent the night whilst the walls were crumbled. Like how the army of Kisra was disintegrated, never to be united again. A background of these poems, that as I mentioned, the Persian Empire was a very, very powerful empire, ruling almost major portions of the world. Now we are talking about such an empire. We are not talking or relating it like the empires of today. The empires of today in relation to the empires of the past was nothing. The empires of the past was more powerful and greater rule over the world. And it was the Persian Empire at the time of the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allama Busairi rahmatullah alayhi refers to that just before the night, or just before the birth of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the night before the birth of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a zalzala, an earthquake that had taken place. And that palace of Kisra, which was a very, very powerful, huge palace, it is stated that it was almost 100 meters high, palace 100 meters high, and it took Kisra, being the king, with all the resources at his disposal, and started from before the time, that almost 90 years, to build such a huge palace. And it was decorated and adorned with gold from outside, let aside what was inside the palace. Hazrat Mufti Taqi Osmani Sahab, Daman Barakatuhum, in his book, Jahadida, where in the English translation, that visited the world or seen the world, in that book of his, he speaks about the various travels in the various parts of the world, and he speaks about his travels to Iraq. He says that he went to a place, Madain, in Iraq, right at the borders of Madain. That is where there is one wall remaining of that wall of Kisra, of the palace of Kisra. He says that even when you look at it now, after thousands of years passing by, you can see how great, how huge structure it is. And he said that when you entered to one place, there was like a huge hall in the center, as though that was the main hall. So Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has kept that palace, one part of that palace, for us to see. فَاعْتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ, so that we may seek ibrat, so we may seek lesson. Huge empires have come, that see what has happened of them. In fact, there was a Muslim ruler by the name of Mansur. He wanted to actually break that wall down. So one of his ministers advised him that don't break that wall down. That wall, it represents a huge lesson for the Ummah. That when Allah's madad comes, Allah's nusrat comes, that Allah helps the Muslims out. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was coming, and the entire wall and the entire palace being broken down and being destroyed is actually divine help from the side of Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So Allama Busairi says that the night before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam could be born, an earthquake took place, and this huge powerful palace of Kisra, and it stated it had approximately 14 pillars, huge powerful 14 pillars to keep up that palace, that all just crumbled. It was unexpected, never thought of, and it was beyond the understanding, beyond the comprehension, that how such a huge, powerful, magnificent, gigantic palace happened to fall down. And then he likens this and he says that this is how, like how the army of Kisra disintegrated. Now one can understand that it was the greatest empire of the world, ruling the major portion of the world. What could be the extent of the empire of the Persian, what the army of the Persian Empire? So he speaks about how the Persian army have completely disintegrated. This is irhas. This is a miracle. This is by divine design, divine order. Allah is giving a message to the world that now no army is going to survive. It is only the army of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the army of Islam, that is now going to survive. Now just to shed some historical facts behind this. Firstly, as I indicated earlier, the two empires, the Persian Empire, the Roman Empire, they used to be in war against each other. As the norm of time, history has shown it, that every empire was to compete with another empire. Today too, we also find it. There was a time where, during our times, that probably we spoke about the Russian Empire. Then after we saw the Russian Empire is gone, there's also other empires. And whatever the empire of today, that is going to go, and tomorrow there's going to be another empires. Ultimately, لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَحَارِ is going to the empire of Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Everything belongs to Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So, the Russian Empire or the Persian Empire defeated the Roman Empire. And this is indicated in the Quran Kareem. But apart from that, such a huge, powerful empire, the Persian Empire, how did it finally crush? And how did it come to an end? In the sixth year after Hijrat, after the migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Madinatul Munawwara, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to go and perform Umrah with the Sahaba. Allah refers to it in the Quran Kareem, لَقَدْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ رَسُولَهُ الرُّؤْيَا بِالْحَقِّ لَتَدَخُلُنَّ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامِ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ آمِنِينَ مُحَلِّقِينَ رُؤُوسَكُمْ وَمُقَصِّرِينَ. Nabi Kareem saw a dream that they're entering into the state of Ihram. They're going into the Haram and they've removed their hair, and some of them even shortened their hair. This is in the Quran Kareem. At that time, the Kuffar of Makkah Mukarramah stopped the advancement of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and put a condition that must come the following year. And one of the conditions was that now they're not going to fight with each other. That's the time where the doors opened up for da'wah. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided to write letters to various kings inviting them to Islam. One of the letters Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam wrote was to the Persian king Nushirwa at that time, inviting him to Islam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent the letter with Hazrat Abdullah ibn Huzafa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When the letter of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the letter of invite to Islam, when it came to Nushirwa, obviously, he is the king of the most powerful empire of the world. One can understand the pride, the arrogance that he would have in him. So when he opened the letter and he saw that he is being invited, he is being asked to submit to someone besides him, to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, submit to Allah and accept Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a Nabi of Allah, being the most powerful person in the world, pride and arrogance got the better of him, and he tore the Mubarak letter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's when Nabi Kareem sallallahu heard about this, made dua, Allahumma mazzikhu kulla mumazzak. He tore my letter, Allah, you tear his empire apart. And it so happened how the empire of the Persian Empire crumbled and how it got torn in a most disgraceful, in a most humiliating way. After this, Nushirwa got so angry that he had his representative, a governor, so to say, or minister or representative in Yemen by the name of Bazan. He sent a message to Bazan, who is this Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that's telling me to submit to him? Send two powerful people to capture him and bring him to me. So two people, clean shaven, they came to Madinatul Munawwara. When they saw Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they became mar'oob, confounded. They couldn't even bear the rob of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where they going to catch Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and take Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? As though the Sahaba would permit that. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at them and told them that, where's your people's beard? They say, our king told us to remove the beard. Our Rabb, referring to our king, told us to remove the beard. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam told that my Rabb, my king told me to keep a beard. Anyway, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam told these two people that قتل ربی ربک, مائی رب, اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ killed your رب, referring to your leader, referring to Noshirwa. What happened? There was a confrontation between the father and the son. The Persian, imagine, people think that they're sitting on empires, but what happened in a personal life is something that they don't enjoy any peace and any comfort. So Noshirwa's son's name was Sherwiya. Noshirwa got married to a very beautiful woman at that time by the name of Shirin. The son now fell in love with the father's wife. That means Sherwiya now fell in love with the father's wife. That was the type of life that they were living. So just to get that woman, to get his father's wife, he now attempted to kill his father. And his father also perceived that his son is going to go kill him. So what the father did before becoming a victim of his son's killing, plotting and assassination, he took a bottle, filled it up with poisonous, deadly poison, and he put on top of the bottle, he wrote on top of the bottle that this medicine is very good for potency. He put it inside the cupboard. Finally, Sherwiya killed Noshirwa, and then he wanted to get married to Shirin, that is his father's wife. So after the death of his father, he opened the cupboard and he found that bottle there, that it is written there, very good for potency. He thought, probably this is what my father was taking, so he decided to take it. And when he took it, that deadly poison also killed him. The father died, son also died. And then after that, the sword started crossing with each other. This person fighting with that person fighting, until a time came that there wasn't a single male to rule the Persian Empire. And now a time it came where that empire had to be given over to the rule of a woman. That's when Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, لَيْ يَفْلَحَ قَوْمٌ وَلَّوْ أَمْرَهُمْ إِمْرَأَةً, that nation can never be successful to hand over the matter over to a woman. So this is how the Persian Empire have come to an end. And besides that, completely crumbled, then at the time of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, in the 14th year after Hijrat, Umar radiallahu ta'ala sent her to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala with a huge army, and finally they took over the Persian Empire, and that is why Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala is known as the Fatih of Faris. He is known as the conqueror of the Persian Empire. So Allama Busairi rahmatullah alayh, in the most eloquent way, in few ways, in few words, he indicates to a great historical perspective, Kasham li ashabi Kisra ghayra multa'ini, like how the army of Kisra was disintegrated, never to be united again. وَالنَّارُ خَامِدَةُ الْأَنْفَاسِ مِنْ أَسَفٍ عَلَيْهِ وَالنَّهْرُ سَاهِ الْعَيْنِ مِنْ سَدَمِ. خَامِدَة literally means for the fire to go off. أَسَف refers to regret. سَاهِ الْعَيْنِ refers to eyes that have been awake, sleepless eyes, like how everybody stayed awake last night, and then you can see some of the eyes right now. They are sahiul ayn, that sleepless eyes. Means sadamin, and sadamin refers to sorrow. In this, Allama Busairi rahmatullah alayh, he refers to another miracle. The translation is that, and the fire of the Persians, it took a cool breath out of regret. While the river of Persia had sleepless eyes from excessive sorrow. Again, Allama Busairi rahmatullah refers to two miracles that took place upon the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Persians, they were fire worshippers. And a particular fire was on for almost, burning for almost 1,000 years. Yes, of course, from the administrative point of view, that they had people responsible to keep that fire fire burning all the time. All the time there were people around that fire. It was as though that fire was their god. They used to worship that fire, but it was an ajeeb god where somebody had to look after it for you to stay awake. Whereas our Allah is such, لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةُ وَلَا نَوْمُ. So they used to worship this fire for thousands of years. Now, it so happened that the night when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was about to be born, Zalzala an earthquake took place, the Persian palace fell down, and automatically this entire fire also went off. So as though Allama Busairi is saying that fire, it took a cool breath. That means that it went completely off. And that fire of 1,000 years, that it went completely off, and it is as though the fire is now regretting that it was alive for so long. How come it died suddenly? So, وَالنَّارُ خَابِذَةُ الْأَنْفَاسِ مِنْ أَسَفِي. And the second part, he refers to وَالنَّهْرُ سَاهِلْ عَيْنِ مِنْ سَدَمِي. There was the Euphrates. You get the two famous rivers, the Euphrates and the Tigris. The Euphrates, it was the main water supply of the Persian people at that time. So that water, that stream around that, there were quite a few synagogues and there were other places of worship of the Persians. That entire stream, it also dried up completely. So, وَالنَّهْرُ سَاهِلْ عَيْنِ مِنْ سَدَمِي, as though the river of Persia, they had sleepless nights and they dried up out of sorrow. وَسَاءَ سَاوَى أَنْ غَاضَتْ بُحَيْرَتُهَا وَرُدَّ وَارِدُهَا بِالْغَيْذِ حِينَ الرَّمِي. Sawa, Allama Busairi refers to a stream or refers to a river that was between, in those days it was Rai, present-day Tehran, the capital of Iran, Tehran. At that time the name was Rai. And in the Kitab they normally refer to a place called Rai. It refers to actually Tehran. So between Tehran and Hamazan, there was a lake by the name of Sawa. And around the lake was all the place of worship of the Persian people. That also suddenly dried up. So Allama Busairi says that Sawa, which is the lake that was between Rai, between Tehran and Hamazan, it became grief-stricken with the drying up of its lake. That lake is now no more there for it to sustain the fire worshippers. And he presents that as though there was a thirsty water bearer, because that was a lake that used to supply the needs of the people. So the water bearer who was thirsty, when he went to fetch water from the lake, after this incident, when the lake dried up, that he had returned with anger and with disappointment. In other words, that now the time for kufr, the time for shirk has now come up to an end. In the second poem, the word of Rami is mentioned, but it actually is Ramiya. The ya has been dropped out because of tawazun to maintain the rhyming in poetry. كَأَنَّ بِالنَّارِ مَا بِالْمَاءِ مِنْ بَلَلِي حُزْنًا وَبِالْمَاءِ مَا بِالنَّارِ مِنْ بَرَمِي. Now further speaking about how that lake of Sawa, it dried up, it is as though the fire, that means the fire that was burning for 1,000 years, when it went off, it is as though the fire became wet like water. Which means that fire was the object of worship, it went off and it is no more there, it is as though fire became water, completely non-existent. And he further mentions that as though the water became blazing fire due to grief. Barami refers to grief. In other words, that water supply that was there of Sawa, that water is not there. When you have water, you can put up water, you can put up fire. But now that water is not there, as though that there is fire that is blazing. So because that water have dried up. The 13th poem, Allama Busairi says, وَالْجِنُّ تَهْتِفُ وَالْأَنْوَارُ سَاطِعَةٌ وَالْحَقُّ يَذْهَرُ مِنْ مَعْنَى وَمِنْ كَلَمِي. تَهْتِف refers to making sounds. And the jinn was shouting. The jinn was calling out and telling the people about the appearance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the noor of the birth of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was now spreading in the horizons. And the truth that refers to Nubuwat, Haqq, the truth was now getting exposed with internal and external issues. In these poems, Allama Busairi rahmatullah alayhi refers to another miracle. In the time of Jahiliyyah, or right before the birth of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the jinnat were able to go up toward the skies. And Allah refers to it in the Quran Kareem. When Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gives an order to the malaika, then the malaika of the seven heavens pass it over to a sixth heaven, then to a fifth, then the fourth, right until it comes to a first heaven. So the jinnat, they used to go up to the first heaven and try to steal information. And pass the information over to the fortune tellers. Now people will go to a fortune tellers and ask them to predict their life in the future. And from the with 99 lies, they probably would put one truth. The people's focus will be on the one truth and think that what the fortune teller is saying is truth. This information was fed by the jinnat. The information they got from the skies. That's why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have mentioned, man ata kahinan falisa minna. That person who goes to a fortune teller is not from among us. Many people also have a tendency, sometimes in the newspapers, they like to look at the prediction of the stars. What is it look like this year, January? What is, does it look like in February? What fate is in store for me in this? What the stars read? That's kufr. That is shirk, and it's completely haram to even read that. If people are going to challenges in life, then you don't resort to the stars, you turn to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Halat and conditions, they come from Allah. Everything is by divine design, and everything is by the order of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So what is mentioned there in the reading of the stars is also a type of that prediction from the side of kufr and from the side of shirk. So Allama Busairi rahmatullah alayhi refers to this, that in the time of Jahiliyyah, the jinnat were able to go up to the skies. And upon the birth of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah appointed the malaika to take stones, to take the stars and throw it at the shayateen. If it hit the shaitan on the head, shaitan dies. And if it doesn't hit the shaitan on the head, somewhere anywhere else, then the shaitan probably will survive, but probably will be badly paralyzed. And the falling stars that we see is actually the effect of that. From the scientific point of view, we probably give some other explanation. However, how Allah created the world is a conjunction between that asbab and between the hikmat and wisdom of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So when the jinnat were now repelled, trying to go up toward the sky, then they were sent back. Now they announced to the world, wal jinnu tahtib, the jinn were now talking to the world, something unique have taken place. Something ajeeb, peculiar have taken place, that for thousands of years from inception of the world, we're able to steal information from the skies. Why is it not happening anything? Why it's not happening now? Why are we being sent back? Something very unique and something very great have taken place, as though the jinnat we're telling to the people. And then that indication of that in the Quran Kareem. Inna sami'na Qur'anan ajaba yahdi ila ar-rushd fa amanna bi wa lan nushrika bi rabbina ahada. That the jinnat, they consulted with each other and they decided to scan the entire world to see what unique incident took place for which we are being stopped access to the skies. One group of jinnat that was appointed in the Arab Peninsula, they happened to pass Suq-e Uqqas. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reciting the Quran Kareem, and they said, this is it.